Are we happy or what? Are we up or what?
Yeah.
We're up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we rejoice that we are in you. And Lord Jesus, we want you to know that we are not afraid of anything. Because of you and because of our faith in you and the word that you've given us. And so we thank you for this opportunity for us to come together and just agree on the fact that all is well because Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. And we rely on that and we look to heaven to see us through and to cause us to have victory in every circumstance, everything that happens, regardless of what's around us, because we are not in the world, but we are in you. And that makes all the difference in the world. Hallelujah. So we thank you for the word that's come forth, and we thank you for lifting our spirits with the word and causing faith. And we thank you for giving us utterance today, Lord, in your word. Give us words from heaven, Lord. We just want you to know, Lord, we're not afraid of anything. We trust you with all of our heart in every situation in our lives, in the healing of our body, in our finances, in our families. We believe you, Lord, and we know you never fail. Hallelujah. Give me utterance today. Give George utterance today and Ken utterance again tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Y'all are a good group. Y'all are a special group. I can tell. I could tell last night. This group is up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. George and I are going to talk to you today about money. And more of it. Hallelujah. Not just money, but more money. Glory to God. We are givers. We are sowers. We are tithers. And we operate under a different set of rules than people out there in the world. The blessing is working in our lives. Glory to God. So I'm going to talk to you. First of all, I'm just going to give you some scriptures. George and I are going to do a double header today. I'm going to talk a while, and then he's going to talk a while, and then who knows what's going to happen after that. But I want to read you some good scriptures about good days. Hallelujah. So Psalm 34, look at Psalm 34:10. You know, if you ever need help, what do? You go to the Bible and you look at scriptures and you look at what God says about the situation and it lifts you up. You can't stay down when you believe the word of God. So let's look at good days here, what the word says about good days. Psalm 34:10 says, the young lions, well, look at them. Fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Now, is that clear or is that clear? There is no want to those who honor the Lord and reverence him and do what he says. That's why you and I can be so bold in times of trouble. We know what the Bible says and we believe it. There is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord, in other words, those that are strong, just naturally strong beings, like young lions, do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. We shall not want if we seek the Lord. Now, if we're not seekers, we don't qualify for this. But if we seek the Lord, we go after the Word of God, we do everything we know to do to walk in the light of what God says for us to do, we put Him first place in our lives. If we see something that where we're missing it, we fix it. We don't just keep going in the wrong direction. We fix it and obey Him. So we that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. All of our needs are met in the name of Jesus. Does that just say when things are going well, when the economy looks good, when the banks are loaning money? No, we don't depend on the banks. We believe God. And then, so we do not want any good thing. Verse 12 says, What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days? Well, our woman, that would be me. I desire life. I love many good days. I want my days to be many and good. Is anybody in that situation with me? What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Here's how you do it. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cries. So that we want good days, we have to talk right. We can't talk evil and enjoy good days. We can't say evil with our mouth and have good in our lives. We have to get our words, our thoughts. If we don't have our thoughts in line, our words won't be in line with the Word of God. And when we speak the Word of God and we look to God's Word for our victory, for our news, and we count this above what other news we hear, this right here, this Word, what God says is what comes to pass in my life. I watch the news. Maybe I watch the news too much. I don't know. I haven't watched it much here, and it's been really nice. You know, it's just been really nice. But if you watch the news, you have to talk back to it, and you have to say, no, not here in this house. No, we're not having it that way. No. So we want to keep our tongue from evil. We want to say right words. We want our lips to be true and truthful on the Word of God. And what else? Depart from evil. You can't live blessed if you don't depart from evil. If you're going to live bad, you're going to get bad. If you're going to live in obedience to the Word and do what the Word says, you're going to get blessing. But you can't have it both ways. Because when you do bad, when you do the curse comes on you. You shouldn't be doing the curse. You know, so we know better. We keep our tongue from evil and our lips from speaking guile. We depart from evil and we do good. And we seek peace and pursue it. And what's the result? The Lord looks out after us. The eyes of the Lord are upon those who do right. And his ears are open to his cry. So we're going to see good days. Good days. Good days. Hallelujah. All right. Now look at Psalm 100 and verse 5. I like good days. I enjoy good days. I like the good life. I like the blessed life. I like the God life. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. All right. Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So whatever we find in the Word of God, we know it's still good. It's enduring, and we know that the Lord is good. He is always for us. He is always desiring to bless us. And if we'll obey him and put ourselves in position, there's no question about it, we'll be blessed. God is not the failure. If we're having a failure, it's not God. We're missing it somewhere. Because once we get in position, he does the blessing and he brings the good. God is good all the time. Now, 104, verse 28. Where do I want to start? What thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, and they are filled with good. God opens his hand, and it is filled with good. He has an open hand. You know, you've probably known people, you might have had people in your family who are like this, that are just tight, just plain old tight-fisted. They wouldn't give you a quarter if they had three of them, you know. God's not like that. His hand is open. He's ready to bless. That's what he does. That's his thing. That's what he enjoys doing. He's always right. And he's always blessing. Glory to God. So all we have to do is get into position. God is good. His hand is open. Look at Psalm 145. Our days are good. He wants us to have good days. Verse 9 says, look at 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Aren't we glad He's slow to anger? And aren't we glad He has great mercy? The Lord is good to all, and all His tender mercies are over all His works. Glory to God. God is good to all. He is never the problem. He's always willing to do us good. We just have to get in a place to receive it. Now look at Deuteronomy 6. You know, houses are... This is an outline, actually, that I did in 2008, in August of 2008. But you know how the Word of God is? It's always up to date. So here's a scripture about houses. Houses, Deuteronomy 6:11. Houses are in the news these days, you know. Some people are about to lose their house. Some have lost their house. But listen to what the Word says. We cannot go by what the world does. We have to go by what the Word says. You and I, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We don't get our goods from the world. God blesses us and causes those things to come out of the world to us. The goods, the things we need, the healing comes to us from heaven. We don't have to live like the world lives. We're not of the world. We don't obey the world. We don't follow the world. We follow God. Now listen to this, what He says about houses. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 11, it says, let's look at 10. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which He sware to thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. Now who are we? We're the seed of Abraham. Let's just get that straight. We're blessed with faithful Abraham. Amen. We are his seed, just like Isaac and Jacob. To give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not. Verse 11 says, and houses full. Houses full. Not houses empty with furniture repossessed and nothing in it. Not houses that have been repossessed themselves. Houses full of all good things which thou fillest not. Houses that we didn't fill. Glory to God. Houses that we didn't fill. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And wells wells that you fillest not, and wells which you diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, beware lest you forget the Lord and remember where you got all those good blessings. But that says houses. God will give us houses. God wanted to give Israel houses. You know, God knows we need a house. He knows you need a place to live. He knows you need a place to take a bath. People need to bathe. He knows you need a place to sleep, a place to eat, a place to relax. God was interested in giving them houses. He's interested in giving us houses. And He's interested in us keeping the houses that we already have in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, you know, God's been talking for a good long while to a lot of people about getting out of debt. And I'm sure some of you have thought about that in the last month or two. How I wish I'd have gone after that and gotten out of debt. But you know, with God, He's forgiving. He'll take you right where you start. Just the moment, even if you missed it in the past and you just thought, well, I can just enjoy life a little more if I don't try to get out of debt. And you look back now and say, I wish I'd have done that. I wish I'd have done it a long time ago. You know, God's so forgiving. I mean, He won't just hold it against you that you turned it down a few times. Anytime you turn to Him and say, okay, I'm going for it, Lord. I'm believing You. I'm tithing. I'm sowing. I'm believing You for my finances. I'm believing You to get out of debt, to pay my house off, to pay these things off. I believe in You, Lord. And I repent for not doing it sooner. Isn't repentance a marvelous thing? I mean, God, none of us could make it if God didn't add that to it. That when we make a mistake and when we miss God, even if it's something that we should have known and done, when we repent of it, the Lord just takes us right back, cleanses us of all sin, and starts over as though it's our first day at school. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we're always growing. We're always learning. And I don't think you ever get to where you don't need to repent over something. I'd like to think so, but, you know, we make mistakes. And this may come as a shock to you, but we're also pretty lazy sometimes. Not to charge ahead and do something extra when we think we could get by with just where we are. But the best thing you and I can do is to get on God's Word. Take it literally. Let it change the way we talk, the way we think, the way we act. And when we're doing that all the time, our faith is growing. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need a dose of the Word of God every day. You ought to get up early enough to spend some time in prayer and to spend time in the Word of God. You say, well, I just don't think I have time. Well, do you have time to go to the lawyer's office? Do you have time to go to do this or that thing because things didn't work out? If we want good, we have to go for God and give Him something to work with. And if we don't have faith, that's just believing what He says. If we don't know what He says, or we're not acting on what He says, or we haven't been listening to what He says lately, to where it's up in the forefront of our thinking coming out of our heart, then we're not obeying Him. And when we don't obey Him, we live like the world. I mean, we have the same problems that they have because we're not giving God any place to work. God has to have a place to work if He's going to do the supernatural. And faith gives Him that place. So the Lord is good. He wants us to see good days. He wants us to have houses full of good things. Luke 6:43 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things to pass. Now, who puts things in the good man's heart? He puts it in there. He puts the Word of God in his heart through his eyes and his ears. The Word of God is good. It goes in his eyes and his ears. It gets in his heart and it comes out his mouth with faith in it. And it changes circumstances. It heals bodies that the doctors have no answer for. It brings finances out of where you didn't have any idea there were finances. It raises the dead. Hallelujah. I hope maybe tomorrow I get to read you a testimony I just read on the way up here, where this little child died and was raised from the dead. And as I read that, I thought about the financial situation. What bank can raise the dead? What government can raise the dead? This child was clinically dead and had been dead a little while. What source of power can do that? Anybody that can raise the dead can pay your bills if you'll believe Him for it. Anybody that can raise the dead can keep you from going bankrupt or keep you from losing your house. And that would be God. Nobody can raise the dead but God. But you and I have to give Him something to work with. We have to give Him our faith. Lord, I believe You. Glory to God. When people were raised from the dead in the Bible, faith was being let loose on the scene. Faith. The woman with the issue of blood, when she touched the hem of His garment, she said, if I just touch His garment, I shall be healed. I shall be whole. And the moment she touched Him, power went out of Him into her and dried up her blood, and she was healed. Why? Because she had faith. What is faith? Faith's believing what you see here rather than what you hear. What you see on the news, what anybody else says in the whole world, faith is believing what God says in His Word. Hallelujah. A good man, Luke says, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. So we put the word in our heart faithfully, continually, not just when we're in trouble, but all the time. And then we'll hear from heaven just as you go day by day, the Lord will correct you. And you might begin to take a step in this direction, and then you'll ask the Lord about it, or you'll just get this funny bad feeling down here and thinking, that's not right, I shouldn't do that. It looks really good, but you know, I don't think that's right. Or maybe a scripture will come up to you and tell you why it's not right. So what do? We obey that. We obey the unction of the Spirit, and we can walk in the blessing in any time, good times or bad times. Times will be good for us because we're connected to heaven. Heaven is our source. And we are in good standing there. And we look to heaven and to the Father and to the Son to see us through things. So when the world is in turmoil and the world is in recession, depression, trouble, debt, whatever it is, we're not dependent upon the world. We look to God. Amen. Glory to God. So the good man out of the good treasure of his heart. Who puts the word of God in our heart? We're responsible. That's our responsibility, to spend time in the word, to get it in there, to put it in our eyes, in our ears, so that it get down in our heart, filled with the word of God. And continually feeding on the Word of God so we keep our thinking on track. We don't let situations move us this way or that way or put fear upon us, fear of the things that are coming upon the world. No, our faith is in the Word. Our faith is in God. We look to Him for our health. We look to Him for our wealth. We look to Him for the well-being of our family, for our safety. When we're in danger, we look to Him. When we're in safety, we look to Him. When we have an abundance, we look to Him. When we have a lack, we look to Him. And He is faithful. He is faithful to always see us through. So whether it's governments, whether it's for governments or for groceries, it takes faith to change things. Whatever you have to do, whatever you need changing in your life, it takes faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we've got it. If you're not born again, you need to get born again and get a covenant with God. Get in on the covenant. Say, well, I just don't know if I'm ready for that. Well, then tough it out on your own. When you get tired of doing that, then remember God's there. He'll take you anytime you'll come to Him. But, oh my, when I think about what trouble Ken and I were in when we actually did begin to follow the Lord. It's just awesome how good God is. And He's no respecter of persons. So don't hold out. Get in. Let Him do something good for you. Now look at Psalm 84:11. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for the Word. We love the Word. My. If it weren't for the Word, we wouldn't know what to do. For the Lord is a sun and a shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. So the Lord is always good. He's always ready. And He'll withhold no good thing from you. How many know a house to live in is a good thing? A car to drive is a good thing. Gas for that car is a good thing. Groceries and food to eat is a good thing. He will withhold no good thing. But look, there's a little part left there that has to be fulfilled from them that walk uprightly. What is uprightly? Whatever God says is right. That's uprightly. When you walk in the way that God says, you're walking uprightly. If you're not obeying God, you're not in a position, He'll do the best He can for you, but you're not in a position to be blessed going in and coming out. I believe you'll survive. But who wants to survive? How many have tried just surviving? Oh man, it is no fun. Surviving, just surviving is better than not surviving, but it's still no fun. I like to live in the blessing. I like it when I can go before the Lord every morning or whenever it is I need to pray. I always go in the morning, but you know, you pray through the day. When I go before the Lord and I don't have to go in like this, knowing that I've been disobedient, knowing that I've not done what He told me, knowing that I'm not going in the direction He wants me to go. What does that do? You can't have faith. You can't go, you can go in, but you can't have faith knowing that you're not doing right. See, faith, I mean, faith, you have faith, you've got to come, what does it say? Come boldly to the throne of grace. Well, if you're living in adultery, you're not going to be able to come in boldly because you know that's not right. You just hardly would want to even go there. God will receive you. But you know, faith is believing. God will act on what you ask Him to do. He'll do it. So if we know we're disobedient, then we're not going to have strong faith. If we are walking in all the light, none of us have all the light there is, but if we're walking in the light that we have and we're obeying God, and when we see something in the Word He says is not right, then we say, okay, we're not doing that. Or if we see something in the Word He says do this, then we say we're doing that. And we're making our efforts to do those things that He says to do. Then we have boldness when we go before the throne of grace. And our faith is working. Glory to God. And faith is the key to our receiving. Faith. Believing what God says in His Word. Acting on it. Now, if you believe what He says in His Word about receiving good, then you have to believe what He says in His Word about obeying Him. What He considers right. What He considers wrong. And when you have all that put together and you're walking in the light you have and you're looking for more light and you're changing when you see or hear the word preached that says this is what we're supposed to do and here's the scripture for it, and you say, well, I see I missed that there. I'm changing right now. I'm going to do that from now on. Just like many of you last night might have been in that situation where tithing's concerned. Ken talked a lot about tithing. It's because we know that is our key to prosperity. And you might have thought, well, I tried it several times. We tried it several times ourselves. But it doesn't work when you just try it every once in a while. But when you become faithful and you know that you wouldn't have that blessing if God hadn't given it to you, and He's offering you a partnership, it's a good one too. You get 9 parts and He gets 1 part. It's a good deal. But that's all He asked for in the tithing area. And so what happens when you do that? Well, your faith comes up. And you look at the tithing scriptures and you see the blessing of God in tithing. Well, what happens when you don't do that? Well, you know you're missing it. So what do? Well, you repent for not doing it sooner and you begin to do it. That gets God in partnership with you. And he certainly doesn't ask for much, especially since He is the power behind everything that happens good in your life. And actually, it's an honor that He would receive our tithe so that we could be in covenant with Him. But that's Ken's sermon. But at any rate, it's just, Ken and I believe with all of our heart that that's where prosperity really starts. And so we're strong in that. And we just wouldn't consider not tithing. That would be to us like, I don't know what. I can't think of anything jumping off a bridge, I guess. I can't think of anything that bad. But that's just a good example of obeying. If the Word says it, let's do it. And when you do that, then you're in line for blessing. You know, in the blessing scriptures in Deuteronomy, they had to obey God to get the blessing. If they didn't obey God, they didn't get the blessing, they got the curse. The curse was out there. Everybody in the whole world was operating under the curse. But this group of God's people could get out from under the curse if they would just do the blessing, what God said to them to do in the blessing, and follow what He said in the blessing. Then the blessing from heaven could come upon them and set them apart from every other tribe of people in the whole world. They could be blessed. Now, you and I are that way because the blessing of Abraham's come on us through Christ Jesus. We can be blessed, and we should be blessed, if everything around us was caving in, the blessing would come upon us to hold us, to keep us, to empower us to prosper, to heal our body. Every sickness and every disease is under the curse. So we're in a place. I'm telling you, we're in a place, and we want to keep this place. We want to stay in tight with God in His Word, spend time with Him so we can hear, so that the Spirit of God shows us things from the Scripture where we're missing it. When God corrects you, that is one of the greatest blessings that there is. Why? Because He's wanting you to get in back in the blessing spot. You know, a lot of times we get corrected from while we're studying the Word, reading the Word, and the Word talks about love not having any resentment toward anybody and the love of God and all that love is. And we kind of examine ourselves there and we say, well, I've been missing it there. Maybe I'm not showing this person love or whatever. And we get to correct it. So life with us is an open book test. And when we make adjustments, that's a good way to say it. We make adjustments when the Word shows us somewhere we're missing it. That keeps the blessing intact. That keeps things moving in our direction. Hallelujah. So it has everything in the world to do with how we look at life, our attitude, how we honor God or don't honor God, how we obey God or don't. Or maybe we get corrected about forgiving somebody and someone might say, well, they did me wrong. I can't forget that. Well, you're going to be out of the will of God. You're going to be in a place where the blessing's not flowing. So you have to make a choice. Would I rather hold resentment or do I want to be blessed? Resentment's no fun anyway. You know, people that resent and they hold unforgiveness, they're not happy either. Unforgiveness does not make one happy. Glory to God. But love, forgive. Somebody does you wrong, you say, yeah, that's nothing. I forgive. What happens? You just went free. And all that's behind you and you're done with it. You pray for them, bless them, Lord. Don't hold it against them. And you just walk away from it. You don't ever have to think about it again. If it comes back to you, you just remember they've been forgiven. And that's not my problem. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Isn't God good? I'm telling you, we've got every advantage. Okay, so let's see, where do I want to go to from here? Good, no good thing. Psalm 84 says, no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing, no lack. Now here's the definition of good. Worth, virtue, merit, something contributing to health, welfare, happiness. Here's a synonym of good. This is what we ought to be living in all the time. Boon, benefit, advantage, gain, virtue, prosperity, profit, interest, welfare. An exclamation of satisfaction, pleasure, agreement. Hallelujah. When I was studying good, I have a big, big old dictionary. Old dictionaries are the best ones. And it says that goodbye is a contraction of God be with you. When I saw that, I got really tickled. I thought, all those sinners and heathen out there in the world that don't like God, every time they say goodbye, they're really saying, God be with you. Is that cool or what? Isn't that just like the Lord? I bet you didn't know that. I didn't know it until I saw it in that dictionary. So remember, when you say goodbye, that's what you're saying. So Mark 11 talks about faith, and we know that scripture, but let's look at it. Time flies up here when you start preaching. I'm going to let George have his time today, because that was such a great message he preached Sunday that I wanted you to hear it. Now, Mark 11. Now, this is faith. You know, everything works by faith. It says, have faith in God. That's the end of verse 22. Have faith in God. Jesus said that. Is that a suggestion? You say, well, I don't think I want to join that faith movement. Faith is not a movement. Faith is what Jesus said we're to have. It's not optional if you're a born-again person. Faith, faith. You know, people, you know the devil. He doesn't have many advantages, but he is a terrific liar. And he wants to get people, he'll try to get you in a place where he can keep control over you. So if God moves by faith and the devil can make the faith teaching look unattractive to you, or maybe like they're crazy over there or they're fanatics, well, that's pretty much true, we are fanatics, then he can keep you under his control. Because without faith, he doesn't have to do anything either. You can't resist the devil without faith. You might want to, but if you don't have faith in what you say when you use the name of Jesus, he's not going to have to go. So obviously, he wants people not to know faith. And so he's endeavored to, to talk about the faith movement and stuff, keep people from getting in on it. And when God's moving in a certain area, the devil will try to keep people out. Of course, because the more we know about God and the more we know about the Word, the less place he gets in our life. He has no rights. If we're born again, he has no rights in our life. He's on the outside. We're born of God. He has no right in our life. But if we let him in, if we talk sickness and lack and fear, and we don't operate in faith. Faith is the shield. Faith is what protects us. And if we keep operating in unbelief, we keep letting the devil in. So he's fighting for his life, so to speak. What do you think persecution is? The other day I read through the Bible all the time, and on a regular basis, I'll just start over and read back through again. And everybody that ever did anything in the Bible, just about, I mean, there might be an exception I don't know about, but just about everybody that did anything for God, including Jesus, was persecuted. And usually it'll say out of envy. Persecuted. Why is that? Because the devil's trying to stop somebody from following God. We don't ever want to be that way. If something's going on, I mean, you and I don't want to be that way. If something's going on and God's moving over here and maybe it's something different than we know or have seen, we haven't seen it all. Maybe we don't want to persecute those people, let the devil come on us to persecute them, maybe just because we don't understand it. That's not our job. Our job is to walk in love. But all the way, you watch when you read through the scriptures, everybody that did anything, and you can see it in the Old Testament, anything for God was persecuted. Why? Because of envy. People envied the blessing that was on them. We ought to have so much blessing on us it can be seen. But you'll probably be persecuted for it because you'd be called a fanatic. You'd be called a faith person, far out. But you'd be enjoying yourself so much that you wouldn't care. Amen? The blessing makes people jealous, but the blessing is worth the persecution. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen? All right, I got to speed up here. I've got to give it to George in a few minutes. All right, so let's see. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Let's just look at this in Mark 11. This is something we know, but this is the bottom line of everything where it comes to receiving. Have faith in God. Does that sound like faith is optional? Does it sound like it's okay if you want to do it? If you don't want to do it, just forget it? No, Jesus said, have faith in God. For I say unto you that whosoever, that would be me, and you, shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things, plural, which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We go to the Word of God. We believe what the Word says, and we believe it in our heart, and we begin to say it. We say what we're believing for, and those things come to pass that He says. Now, this is just part of being obedient. I mean, if you're going to believe God for healing, you cannot talk sickness and disease. You can't say, when you go to church, I believe God for my healing, and then when you go to work, say, I have been sick all week. I have had fever. I've had a high fever. I just felt terrible. Then we go back to church on Wednesday night and say, I believe I'm healed. No, that doesn't work. Look at this. Look at this, what it says. He believes in his heart, shall believe those things which he saith, words, not just words when you're praying, but words all the time. The words that you speak are ordering your life. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so that's why the Lord tells us over and over about our words. When we say we're sick, we open the door for that sickness to stay. We say, well, I just think that's being fanatical. Well, it is pretty strong, all right, but that's just the way it works. Fanatics go free. Fanatics get healed. We say we believe we receive the money that we're believing for. We believe we receive it before we see it. That's faith. So you say, I have it. I have it. I believe I've received my money, my new house. And you don't have to say those things to unbelievers. You don't have to really say them. You can just say them over and over and over to your little circle. But when you are with unbelievers, you can't water it down and keep going by faith. You have to be somewhat of a fanatic all the time if you want to live free. Amen? What do you care what people think anyway? He shall have whatsoever he saith. So look at how many times he said say there. Say, saith, saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them. And that word means to take. You take them and you shall have them. When you believe, you receive, you take it. You take it right there. You take it and then you talk it. After you take it, okay, I believe I receive this new house. I believe I receive it. Okay, so I've got it. I believed I've received it. Now, in 10 months from then, if I say, you know, I don't think I'm ever going to get that new house. I've been believing for 10 months and I don't have a new house. What happened? Well, you took it, but then you let it go. You said, I don't have it. I believe I received my healing. I take it. But then when somebody calls and says, how are you feeling? Well, I'm not feeling too good. I just feel really bad. I'm sick. You know, you want a little sympathy. What have you done? You took it, but you left it. You loosed it. You let it go. So when we receive, God wants us to have good days. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be prosperous. But we have to use our faith in order to get that way and stay that way. So we can't let what's happening out here in the world, what's happening, what we see on the news and read on the papers and all that, we can't let that dominate our thinking. We're not going to lose our house in Jesus' name. If I did lose my house, I'd get another house. Don't ever let the devil put you in a corner like that. He'll paint it black. He'll just say, well, you're going to lose everything you got. I'm not going to lose everything I've got. If I did lose everything I had, I got that from God in the first place, and He'll give me more. But what Satan tries to do is put us in fear. Don't let the devil put you in fear. If you're threatened over this financial thing, you keep tithing, you keep believing God, you go over financial scriptures every day, you stand fast on the Word of God, you do what you know to do, but you don't yield to unbelief and doubt. Amen. And you shall receive. Hallelujah. So we release our faith. Here's what the scripture right here in Mark. Faith is implemented with words. God created the world by faith with words. It was good. He created the earth for man. He created it good. Everything passed the good test. It was very good. So we know from that teaching, from the Word of God, that God wants good in our lives. The will of God is good. You have nothing to fear in the will of God. The further you go with God, the gooder it gets, if there were such a word. And you just keep going. There's no limit. There's no limit to how far you can go, to how much you can be blessed. You can keep going, you can keep going, you can keep going. But you can't do it and be moved by what the world says. They are in trouble. You're not in trouble. You have a Father. You have a Lord Jesus Christ. We are born of God. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. We have the promises of God. He has said things to us. We have it in print that He'll meet our needs according to His riches and glory. We have scripture after scripture after scripture talking about abundance and blessings and good. Now we have to keep that in the forefront of our thinking. And even if you are in trouble, even if you've lost your job or whatever, or you think you might, or you can't quit. You can't quit the Word. You can't quit faith. Faith has to be implemented. You have to press into the things of God. Sometimes it's tough over sickness, disease, or money, or children. You can't quit believing for those children. You can't let them go in Jesus' name. And you can't quit believing for your health and your well and your blessing. And we just can't be moved by what the world says. We have to be moved by what God says. So we release faith. We put it into effect. We implement it with the Word. We go to the Scripture. We find the words. And then when we act on it, we pray on it. Then we engage in faith. We engage. What do I mean by that? Well, when Ken used to, I don't think they have switches on the new airplanes like this, but I think they probably have buttons now, but I don't know. You know, I am a pilot. I've got about 60 hours, and it was about 30 years ago. But, so I'm really not up to date about these things, but I do fly with a guy a lot who is a pilot, and he loves to fly. So anyway, you're a pilot, you're flying an airplane, and you used to push a button or you used to flip a switch and it'd go to autopilot. What were you doing? you are implementing, you are engaging, that autopilot, and it would take over and fly the airplane. Engage. You implement, and then you engage in this faith situation. You go after it. You keep the word in your mouth. You don't just pray in church and then forget about it all week. And if you want action, if you want things to change, you engage yourself. You say it with your mouth. You say it. If you're believing for a house, you say it. You say it. And 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 you say it long enough and you'll see it. Or if it's money, you can't talk lack and you can't talk trouble and you can't talk. If you're looking for a job, you can't say, well, yeah, I just don't think I'm going to find a job. I went today and I did an interview, but it was just like all the other interviews and I didn't get this and I didn't get that. No, engage in your faith. When you go for an interview, you say, if I want this job, I'll get it. I'm believing God. I'll have favor. See, we've got things that people out there in the world don't have. We've got favor. We've got the favor of God. We've got faith. We've got promises. You can get any job you want. You've got the Word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we shouldn't act like we're, defeated or like we're just not common. We are not common people. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are born of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. We've got promises. We have got pages and pages and pages full of promises from God's Word where God says, you do this and I'll do this. I will bless you coming in and going out. Now, speed up your confession if things have gotten tougher for you, or even if they don't, things around you are tough. Speed up your confessions of the blessing. I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. God favors me. I have favor everywhere I go. I get the best jobs. I'll have the perfect job. I believe I receive the perfect job for me. Show me, Lord, where is my job? Or if you're on a job and you'd like to keep it, say, Lord, I'm believing you give me favor. I like this place, and you're my source, and I'd like to stay here, Lord. I'm asking you to give me favor. Show me what to do. Show me. Here's one that'll get you to stay for sure. Show me how to be a blessing to this company. How can I do the best job in this company? You know, the best way to get laid off, the best way not to get laid off is to be the best hand they got. And the easiest way to get laid off is to be a slacker and a griper and a complainer. And we're not that. We're born of God. We're children of God. We've got promises. Amen. We're blessed. God will give you, He could give you, you know, you may be laid off or whatever, but He can show you one idea and make you the wealthiest man around town. But what does He have to work with? We have to believe His Word. We have to lay hold of the Word of God. We have to have faith in God, and we have to say what we believe. And we can't say anything else. We can't be double talkers. We can't be double minded. No, faith is single minded. It means your words are single. You say it, you believe it, you receive it, and you don't deviate from it. Well, you get a bad report. What do? You keep saying what you were already saying. You don't quit saying what God's Word says. Under pressure is when you need to say it even more and more accurately than ever. Amen? We can do this if we will do it. The Word says, therefore I say what things soever, everything, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. So you take, when you pray, you take what you're believing for in prayer. And then you go from that place and you say, I have it, until you're driving it, until you're living in it, and then you just start giving thanks to God for it, that you are in it, you have it, God gave it to you by faith. Glory to God. People, we're victorious. This is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And we're not going to quit, and we're not going to be afraid, and we're not going to back down, not one bit, in Jesus' name. But we're going to go forward, and we're going to prosper, and the works of God are going to prosper, and we're going to evangelize the world, and our works will not be stopped, but they'll be increased. People need the church more than ever right now. More than ever, they need somebody that believes God. So you're a believer, pass that word around. Help people, minister to people. You may know people right now that are out of a job. Minister to them. People, when they get in trouble, they're more open to hear. Amen? They're looking for a way. Now, Father, we just love you today, and we believe you. We want you to know, Lord, that we are not in the least bit disturbed over what's going on. As far as we're concerned, we believe we receive the blessing. Everything in our lives are good. They're taken care of. You give us places to live. You give us homes to live in. You give us work to do. You give us jobs. You give us companies. You give us ideas. You show us things. The blessing is working, and we keep our hearts and our minds set upon you, Lord. And we'll not vacillate, and we'll not let what the world says make us to waver where our faith in you is concerned. We set our faith in you, and we keep it there. You will keep us regardless of what happens around us. We believe we receive it, Lord. We thank you. I just pray for this, every person in the audience today. Father, I'm asking you to, even though things around seem not to be good, I'm asking you to bless the church extra, extra, Lord. Bless us. Our blessing comes out of heaven. Our blessing doesn't come from the bank or from the government. Our blessing comes out of heaven. And right now, just all of you agree with me on this and do it. Right now, we receive the blessing manifest in our lives, in our jobs, in our goods, in our homes, and in favor, Lord. We receive favor. And we expect, Lord, to be so blessed that we'll have plenty to bless other people that are in need. We set ourselves in a position to receive the blessing so that we can be a blessing and help people who don't know you and don't know how good you are and how faithful you are, Lord. This is a time where we can minister, Father, and we set ourselves to do that and to be a blessing to people. We love you, Lord. We trust you with our lives. We have no fear of the future. We know that we are in good hands. Our faith is in you. You are good, and you are good to all that come to you. And we are with you. We'll stay with you. We're going to be faithful. We're going to do whatever you tell us to do. And the blessing will manifest continually all the days of our lives, regardless of any other circumstances. So we give you praise and we give you honor. Lord, it's a good thing to live in this world without fear. We have no fear of the future, for we know you are in us, with us, for us, and you're moving on our behalf, and the blessing is on us, and we cannot be cursed. In Jesus' name. Say, I agree to that. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, last Sunday I was watching Pastor George preach this wonderful message, and I thought, I'm going to get his notes. And then I thought, no, I'm just going to get George. So I called him and asked him if he would share the Friday service with me, and he said he would. So Pastor George, Pastor of Eagle Mountain Church, where are you? We're here to receive. George Pearson, Thank you, George,
for coming. Praise God.
And he did give me his notes today, but I told him if I ever preached it, I'd give him credit for it. So there you have it.
Well, let's all stand up together. Somebody just turn around, greet one another, stretch a little bit, give God praise. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Stretch out over the aisle and shake somebody's hand over there. As you are standing, let's take this as an opportunity to make a declaration before the Lord. Say this after me. I'm strong in the Lord. And in the power of His might. The Spirit of the Lord is here among us. He's living in me. Dwelling in me. Walking in me. The blessing is on me. In me. And going through me. In Jesus' name. Well, give the Lord a shout for that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, you can go ahead and be seated if you would, please. Before we pray over this message, I just want to once again thank Sister Gloria for asking me to come today. Thank Brother and Sister Moore for this wonderful church. Give them a great hand. We so appreciate all that they're doing for Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Hello up there. Are y'all having fun? Well, good. Let's go before the Lord. Father, we honor you and thank you for this time together. Thank you for the presence of the Spirit of the Lord in this place. Father, we thank you for the presence of the Spirit of the Lord in the church. And the presence of the Spirit of the Lord in this nation. Lord, I thank you for the awakening that is in this nation. I thank you, Lord, that we will not look the same and this nation will not look the same. By the time we get to the end of 2009, things will look differently to us. Father, we honor you for that. We thank you for it. And Lord, as I present this message today, I thank you for the anointing of God. I thank you for the presence of the Spirit of God upon your word. Lead us, guide us, direct us as we speak this word today. And I thank you, Lord, for the change that will take place within the next 60 minutes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 26. And let me just briefly tell you a little bit about this message. Several weeks ago, we had been out at the ministry, and Brother Copeland was down in the hangar. We were down there doing something, and he walked out and he started to share with us about the partner letter that he was writing, an upcoming partner letter. He was talking about this passage from Genesis 26 and talking about Isaac. And Terry was there and Aubrey Kelly was down there with us. And we were just standing around talking about these things, and the anointing of God came on that conversation. As he was sharing with us, and we all started sharing and opening scripture. And when I left there that day, I was stirred in my spirit. I went back home, and as I began to prepare for the Sunday morning service, the Lord really led me in this direction to prepare this message and to give my congregation a financial encouragement. Now, I have noticed that here with all the people that are on the news and so forth, they're talking about how President Obama should be positive, but not too positive. He should be the cheerleader in chief, but yet he needs to keep a proper balance in this. Well, I'm going to let you know today that I'm giving you an all-out positive message about where we're going and where we're headed. Glory to God. Full throttle. Somebody say full throttle. Now, I've got a lot here to go over. You're going to have to keep up with me. We're going to go hard and fast on this thing. And if you're taking notes, you just better shake your hand off and get ready for it, because we've got some things that we need to cover here. But let's look at Genesis chapter 26. And I'm going to start with only verse 1 to begin with. Genesis 26, verse 1. And it says, "And there was a famine in the land." Now, the word famine, when you look up the word famine, you get a definition of it. It means a severe shortage. It means extreme scarcity. And it might as well mean serious economic downturn. This is a dark time for some. It is a serious time for some. Scary for some. Those that do not know God, it is an extremely serious time for them. I was thinking about and have been following all of the different individuals that have been involved in these Ponzi schemes. And one, Bernie Madoff, was, of course, one of them. And it is serious in the financial realm for people who do not know their covenant with God. To go through what they're going through right now, there was one man that committed suicide because of what happened in that particular Ponzi scheme. There's another one, another man from New York that had an organization, which I think it's very interesting that the name of that organization was the Agape Corporation. And he was involved in a Ponzi scheme. And I was reading a newspaper article out of New York about that and about how people were responding to that. The people, the 1,500 people or so that invested with him, their money's gone. And they were saying things like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Our nest egg is gone. We've been building for this for a long time. So for people who do not know God and who do not know their covenant. Now, there are believers out there, there are Christians out there that do not know the kind of information that we know. And it is a dark time for them. But there are some things that the Word of God outlines to us about famine and what we do in the midst of famine. Look at Job chapter 5. Hold your place at Genesis 26. We'll go back to that. But look at Job chapter 5. I want to give you a couple of scriptures about what the Word of God has to say to us about famine and living in a time of famine. What that means to you and I. Job chapter 5, verses 20 and 22. I'm going to start with verse 19 in the King James. It says, He shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death. Now look at verse 22. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh. The New Living Translation of that says, He will save you from death in a time of famine. You will laugh at destruction and famine. I like that. It said, you will laugh at destruction and famine. We're not talking about laughing at people. We're not talking about laughing at the ones that are going through the famine. No, we are talking about laughing at famine and destruction. Look at Psalm 33. Psalm 33 and verses 18 and 19. Psalm 33, verses 18 and 19. We're looking at scriptures from the Word that tells us what God says about famine to us. Psalm 33, verses 18 and 19. The eye of the Lord is upon them that hope in His mercy. One translation says that rely on His unfailing love. To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in the famine. Keep them alive in famine. We have been delivered from death in times of famine. Now that doesn't just mean a physical death. That means whatever. A death in your business. A death in your attitude. A death in your financial realm. Or even a death where your retirement future is concerned. We are redeemed from that. Say, I am redeemed, from death, in the time of famine. All right, look at Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Again, verses 18 and 19. Psalm 37. It says, The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance is forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Say, I'm satisfied. Say this, no matter what the financial economy is, I am fully satisfied. One translation said, even in famine, they will have more than enough. That's the New Living Translation. Even in famine, they will have more than enough. The Hebrew actually says there, he will supply until no more is needed. So during a time of famine, he will supply whatever we need until no more is needed. It says, you'll not be ashamed in the evil time. There is shame and lack. I don't know how many of you have ever had collectors calling you. It's an awful thing. It's an awful thing. I won't have a show of hands here for collectors that are... But it's a shame. It feels like shame. Now, Terry and I have never had that happen to us, but our daughter Aubrey did. And it was through a set of circumstances where she had recently gotten married, and they moved a checking account from one account to the other. They closed that one account, but she had a check out there that was written from this old account. Well, they called my house. And this guy gets on the phone and he says, is Aubrey Pearson's there? He was not nice at all. Is Aubrey Pearson's there? I said, no, I'm her father. And then he starts going into this thing about how she bought this thing and the check bounced and we're going to have to do this, we're going to have to do that. And you could feel the shame. Well, there's a shame in a time of lack. But for us, for the redeemed, it says they shall not be ashamed in the evil times. Say this, every bill paid, every need met, every debt wiped out. In Jesus' name. Now, the point that the Lord is wanting me to come to in this, and this is what we're going to jump off from and into, is this. In the time of famine, we need to get rid of the survive mentality. You need to get rid of the survive mentality, even those of you that have investments that you made and you receive those investments, or you're a 401k or 403b or whatever it is, and you've been receiving the same kind of reports that I've been receiving coming in about those, and we need to get out of a survival mentality. And we need to cross over into a thriving mentality. We don't just survive in famine. We don't just barely make it in famine. We don't just get by in famine. We thrive. Say it, I thrive. Say, I'm thriving. In the midst of famine. Let me see the hands of you that have businesses. You have your own businesses. Let me see. You need to begin, if you haven't already, you need to begin to change your confession. You need to say that business is booming. You need to say that we are thriving. How many pastors in here? Let me see the hands of pastors. Those that are in ministry, full-time, let me see your hand. You need to say the ministry is thriving during this time. Ministry is thriving during this time. My church is thriving. You know my church is thriving? We are thriving. We are doing better this year than we've ever done. We are growing more strong this year than we've ever grown. In the midst of famine, we thrive. That's what we do. That's who we are. You know, when you look at the news and you see all of the different companies that are having layoffs and everything from GM to IBM to Starbucks, and you think to yourself, and it's a picture that they're trying to paint before you, that nobody's out there thriving. But I was listening to the news the other day, and I heard that Half Price Books has had the best quarter, first quarter, than they've ever had in the history of Half Price Books. Somebody's thriving. And it's me. Turn around and tell your neighbor that. Somebody's thriving. And it's me. And it's me. Yes, I am one of those statistics. I'm thriving. I'm growing. I'm enlarging. I'm expanding. I don't know. Did you say something, Billy? Oh, praise God. I didn't know if you had something to say. The people that own Hobby Lobby. Are you familiar with Hobby Lobby? A lot of people go to Hobby Lobby. It was the Hobby Lobby people that came in and helped Oral Roberts University. They gave the first $62 million. This was in January of 2008. And then later on that year, for renovation on the campus and to bring the campus back up to where it should be, they donated another $10 million. This year, they are donating yet another $10 million to the renovation. Hobby Lobby has had the best first quarter of this year that they've ever had in the history of their business. So we thrive. Say, I'm thriving. I'm thriving. And that's the word that the Lord gave me for our congregation was thrive. That we are thriving in this time. We are not just getting by. We are not just surviving. We are thriving. We're doing better than ever. Our churches, our ministries, our businesses, our lives, our investments. Our investments. There's a supernatural work of the Holy Ghost going on in us right now and in the body of Christ. Write this down if you're taking notes. I looked up the word thrive. The word thrive, and it means to prosper. It means to flourish. I like that word, flourish. It means to flourish. It means to succeed. It means to advance or to go forward. I like this one. It means to grow vigorously. We're growing vigorously. 2009, what an outstanding year this is going to be. You know, all the proponents and all the predictors and all of those guys are saying, well, we might make it through this year and it might go into next year. No, it's the best year. It's the best year that we've ever had. It means to prosper, to flourish, to succeed, to advance, to grow vigorously. And I like this, to increase in goods. Who's writing this down? Anybody writing this down? Increase in goods, estate, bulk, and stature. To increase in goods, estate, bulk, and stature in the same way that Isaac did. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. And he adds no sorrow to it, just like he did for Isaac. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 26 and let's look at a couple of things here where Isaac was concerned. He's the poster child for thriving in the midst of famine. He is the one that we use the example. I mean, I was watching TV the other day and there was a preacher that got on there. And I mean, he went to this scripture. So it's being talked about. The body of Christ knows where to go. We've learned what to do, as Brother Copeland was sharing with us last night. And so let's read down through verse 6 here, 1 through 6. There was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Isaac went to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, in Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, do not go to Egypt. Stay in the land that I'm telling you of. Dwell in this land, travel in the land, I'll be with you, I will bless you. For unto you and unto your seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed, say that's me, I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. And I will give unto thy seed, say that's me, all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice, he kept my charge and my commandments and my statutes and my laws, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar. First of all, one of the things that we notice about this was the obedience. The obedience that Isaac had to hear what God was saying and to stay right where he was. Obedience is the key in time of famine. It is the key in time of famine. God needed him there. And he needs you here right now doing what you are doing. We are salt and light in the earth. We are salt and light in the earth. If you want to, turn over to Zechariah chapter 8, but I'm going to be reading it to you from the New Living Translation. But you might want to mark it in your Bible. Zechariah chapter 8. We are salt and light. We are here for a reason. We are here for a purpose. Do not get caught up in the negative spiral going downward about what is happening, what is taking place. Get caught up in the kingdom of God's economy. The word of the Lord came to us and said, we are going to look different by the end of this year. Our nation will look different by the end of this year. And the Holy Spirit knows how to guide us through trouble. He knows how to take you through trouble and take you through it thriving all the way. Zechariah chapter 8 in verses 11 through 13, the New Living Translation says this. Among the nations, Judah and Israel had become symbols of what it means to be cursed, but no longer. Now I will rescue you and make you both a symbol and a source of blessing. So don't be afraid or discouraged, but instead, get on with rebuilding the temple. And so it says here, the Lord said, I will rescue you and I will make you a symbol of the blessing. And I will make you a source of the blessing. Say, I'm a symbol of the blessing. Say, I'm a source of the blessing. You know, the word symbol there, it means a representation. A representation. I was thinking today about this, and I was thinking about when you think about our country, United States of America, you think about our country, what are certain images that represent the country? I thought about the eagle. The eagle representing our country. I thought about a flag being a representation of our country. It was in 2001 that we were with Sister Billy in Moscow as she was finishing up ministering at Rick Renner's church there. And on September the 7th, 2001, the team from Eagle Mountain International Church boarded our airplane and we took off from Moscow and we flew to New York. We were headed there that day. They turned us around. I was sitting there watching the map that they have for you to look at, and I was watching the flight path that we were taking, and I watched our flight turn around somewhere over the Atlantic, off the shores of Ireland, and it started turning around. I said, Terry, look at this. I said, you know how unusual it is sometimes in flight paths. You have to take different routes to go to different places. But I said, it looks like we're turning around. And sure enough, we did on that day. We turned around. We spent the next week in Ireland, in Dublin. And so we didn't know from day to day when we were coming home. We did not know what the airlines were doing. We were told at first that the airlines would not be flying for 2 weeks. And so finally, at the end of that week, on that Friday, they called us and let us know, you need to get to the airport immediately. And so we did, and we flew from Dublin, and we flew into Atlanta. And when we got off the plane, many of the flight attendants and the pilots that had time were standing there with flags and signs saying, welcome home. And you just wanted to just hit the floor and cry. It was a sight to see. And that flag was a representation of this nation. You are a symbol of the blessing. You are a representation of the blessing. And it doesn't matter what you are walking through and what you are going through. You can walk through the midst of a famine being the representation and a symbol of the blessing. Say, I am a symbol of the blessing. You know, I was reading back here over in Genesis 26 where it said, and I heard Brother Copeland say this last night. He read this scripture in verse 28 of Genesis 26. When Abimelech came to Isaac, they said to him, we saw certainly that the Lord was with you. And we said, let there now be an oath between us and let us make a covenant. We see the blessing on you. We see the blessing on you. We see the blessing on each other. And you need to become more aware of that, more conscious of the fact that you are a representative from heaven with the blessing on you, and the blessing of God can be seen. With this church, the blessing is on this church. It is seen by everybody in Branson. It is seen worldwide. And it is a place of prosperity. It is a place where somebody can come in. And they might be broken down and they might be poor, but sit in this church and sit under the teaching for a while, and they too will become the symbol of the blessing. Yes. Say this after me. I am
a symbol
of the blessing. Several other translations along this line in verse 28, Abimelech said, "We saw plainly, we saw clearly, and we know that the Lord is with you." We know that the Lord is with you. The blessing is all over you. I'm a symbol of the blessing. I'm a symbol of the blessing. I am also a source of the blessing. In Genesis 12, it says, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you with an abundant increase of favors and make your name famous and distinguished, and you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others. In you will all the families of the earth be blessed, and by you they will bless themselves." So we are both a symbol and a source of the blessing. Look back here at Genesis 26. Let's look at something else. We are obedient to the Lord. It is so important for you now more than ever to be listening to the voice of the Spirit. I want to be at the right time, at the right place, doing the right thing with the right people. And when you do that, when you are positioned in the right place, you are positioned to thrive. The children of Israel followed the fire by night, the cloud by day. And the fire by night and the cloud by day was a symbol of the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit. Where was the Holy Spirit leading them? Where was the cloud leading them? Where was the fire leading them? It was leading them to Canaan land, a land filled with milk and honey, a land of prosperity. That's a picture of the Holy Spirit leading us through what we might call a wilderness. And the Holy Spirit will always lead you to the place of prosperity. He will always lead, always. I said always. He will always lead you to the place of thriving in the Word. He'll always lead you there. Look at verse 12. It says, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him." Now, just a few moments ago, I want to bring this in to this because I believe it has so much to do with what we're talking about. I mean, it's a powerful statement. He sowed and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. We read a scripture a few moments ago. You will laugh at destruction and famine. You will laugh at famine. You will laugh at famine. Does anyone know what Isaac's name means in the Hebrew? Laughter. Laughter. This man, Brother Keith, was laughing all the time. He was laughing all the way to the bank. He was laughing his way through. He laughed out from a little kid. Name your kid Laughter, and what's going to happen? Oh, he just does that all the time. What's his name? Laughter. 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 And no wonder it says you will laugh at destruction and famine. Oh, give it a good laugh right now. Come on. Laugh. What are you laughing at? He laughed at the famine. He didn't laugh at the people. He didn't laugh. We're not laughing at people. We are laughing at it. We are laughing at the spirit life that drives this thing. Laughter exudes confidence. Get around somebody that's laughing all the time and just a smile on their face, and they are just exuding that confidence. And that's what Isaac had. There was a confidence on the inside of him that all is well. Isaac, how's it going? All is well. It said he sowed and received 100-fold. Now, this was unusual. This was a supernatural manifestation of multiplication. Some of the research that I did into this showed that this was not a very fertile area in the natural. That there were even other fertile areas that were around, but the yield was no greater than 25 to 50%. In this particular area where the famine was going on, they thought he was crazy. He's sowing in the midst of this famine, and it produced 100-fold. Say, the 100-fold return is working for me right now. Come on, say it.
Working for me right now.
A 100-fold return is working for me right now. We are not subject to the results of the famine around us. We are operating and living on a different level. A level with which this world is not familiar with. We are operating in a place beyond, above and beyond. We are living and reigning as kings and priests. And even in the most fertile regions, the yield was no greater than 20 to 50 fold. And so I found this scripture. You don't have to look at it, but I found this scripture and I started reading this. And I started confessing this and believing this over my family, over our church, over our ministry, about 2009. In Psalm 65, write down that scripture verse, Psalm 65, New Living Translation, verses 11 through 13. I wrote this down. Lord, you crown me. Now the word crown there means to completely encircle. Means to encompass. And so, Lord, you crown and encircle and encompass my year with a bountiful, abundant, thriving, flourishing harvest. Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. The wilderness becomes a lush pasture. The hillsides blossom with joy. The meadows are clothed with flocks of sheep, and the valleys are carpeted with grain. They all shout and sing for joy. Picture it. Picture it. That's a picture of who you are. That's a picture of our year, Brother Keith. That's our year. That's 2009. It's not a year of famine for us. It's not a year of lack for us. It's turning even right now. It's a turning in the realm of the Spirit that's going on right now. Say this after me. Lord, you crown me. You encircle me. You encompass my year with a bountiful, abundant, thriving, flourishing harvest. Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. The wilderness becomes a lush pasture. The hillsides blossom with joy. The meadows are clothed with flocks of sheep. The valleys are carpeted with grain. And they all shout and sing for joy. Go ahead, shout and sing for joy. Hallelujah! Oh, and give me a good laugh. Come on. Come on, give me a good laugh. Okay, sit down. Verse 13, Isaac waxed great. He went forward. He became very great. He had possessions of flocks of sheep, herds of cattle, and a great store of servants. This word wax is really... It's a very King James word, but you need to just accept it and say, I'm waxing great. Turn to somebody right now. I'm waxing great. I'm waxing great. One translation said, he became a rich man and his wealth only continued to grow. Isaac was the richest man in the world. He was the richest man in the world, and we are of that seed. Come on. Come on. Talk to me. Talk to me. Come on, encourage me right now. Come on. He was the richest man in the world. I did a little study before I came over here this morning. I was listening to Brother Copeland on the internet and doing a little bit of study. But I was preaching this on Sunday, and I started to think about great people financially. And the only name that came to me was Bill Gates. That's the only name that came to me. It kind of bothered me because I just found I'm not familiar with the richest people in the world. So I thought I better get familiar with the richest people in the world. And I think it'll surprise you. Now this is a list of the top 10 richest people in the world. Starting with number one. And the number one, who can tell me who number one is? Warren Buffett. His net worth is $62 billion. Number two, this will surprise you. This surprised me. Number two is Carlos Helú from Mexico. Did I pronounce that right? Carlos Helú from Mexico, $60 billion. Number three is Bill Gates, $58 billion. Number four is Lakshmi Mittal. It's a name that rolls off the tongue. Lakshmi Mittal from India, $45 billion. Number five, Mukesh Ambani. Mukesh Ambani from India, $43 billion. Number six, Anil Ambani, evidently brothers, $42 million. Anil is down a billion from his brother. Number seven is Rinat Akhmetov from Ukraine, $31.1 billion. Coming in at number eight, very close, is Ingvar Kamprad from Sweden, $31 billion. Number nine, Kushal Pal Sain from India, $30 billion. These are the top 10 richest people in the world. I need to know these people. Number 10 is Oleg Deripaska from Russia, $28 billion. Coming in at number 11, Pastor George Pearson from the United States. It right there. There's Keith Moore and Billy Brim. There's Jeremy and Sarah on this list too. Bless the Lord. But we're talking about people here who are waxing great. He became a rich man and his wealth only continued to grow. The word there in the Hebrew to wax great. Oh, this is good. Increase. Advance. To become large. But I like this one. To tower. Yes, sir. He towered. Isaac towered. Not in dominion over people, but in love. And that's what we do. We tower. We tower in that love. We are waxing great. Say, I'm waxing great. And it said here, Isaac waxed great. He went forward and he became very great. Okay, you can read it to me. Come up here. Come here. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Sister Billy Brim.
So you can see it with your own eyes. This is the Hebrew translation. And I read it here. That's exactly what it says. The man became great and kept becoming greater until he was very great.
He became great, kept becoming greater, and became very great. Okay, so say it after me. I'm becoming great.
I'm becoming great.
I'm becoming greater.
I'm becoming greater.
I'm becoming very great.
I'm becoming very great.
Hallelujah! Now, Billy, when I did some research on the last very great that there was, I did a little research on that. Interesting what it means. It means quickly. Speedily. And rapidly. So, read it to me again.
The man became great and kept becoming greater until he was very great.
Rapidly, speedily, quickly. And it's happening here right now. Quickly, quickly, quickly. 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 Another Hebrew that I found on that, the man was great. He kept going on and was great, and he became exceeding great. I like what Brother Copeland said last night. His home got bigger than Abimelech's palace. Now, that gave me a picture. Didn't it to you? That gave me a picture last. I had not thought about that before, but his house was bigger. No wonder they were mad at him. No wonder they were upset with him. His house was bigger. Bigger than Abimelech's house. He had possessions or acquisitions of flocks of sheep and herds of cattle and great stores of servants. This man was the richest man on earth. There were no cutbacks and there were no layoffs in Isaac Inc. If you have a business and you're having to face that, you begin to stand on this right now. No layoffs. No layoffs. No layoffs. Business was booming. And you know something? He didn't quit. If you look over at verse 22, they went through all the digging the wells and filling back up. Digging the wells and filling back up. And finally, in verse 22, he removed from thence, he dug another well, and that they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth. For he said, for now the Lord has made room for us and we shall be fruitful in the land. The word Rehoboth means room. It means streets, a broad and spacious place. An enlargement, an expansion. It's time to expand. Church, it's time to expand. It's time to grow. We're not going backward. We are thriving. We are moving forward. And the New Living Translation of that scripture right there said, the Lord has made room for us and we will be able to thrive. Say, I'm thriving. Thrive. See, that's the word, right? That's the word. That's the word. When you walk out today, somebody asks you, what did he preach about?
Thrive.
Thriving. We're thriving. We're thriving. We're flourishing. We're succeeding. We're advancing. We're growing vigorously. Now, listen to this. In order to thrive in a time of famine, we have got to keep doing what Isaac did. We've got to keep doing what Isaac did. Let me give you the five things the Lord gave me that Isaac did. Actually, four, and then I added one. But the things that... Number one, what did he do? He kept obeying God. He kept obeying God. You know, Brother Copeland talked last night about that service that we had last Sunday. And we had the gifts of the Spirit moving. I mean, it was just an abundance of things going on. And I felt like I was directing traffic on the platform. Okay, you come up, you give that. You come up, you give that. And in the midst of all of that, and obedience is where the blessing is. I said obedience is where the blessing is. Say, I'm obedient.
I'm obedient.
Lord, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I'll go wherever you tell me to go. But one of the things that came forth during that Sunday that of last week, the Lord had a word through Terry, my wife, and she actually gave the word before I preached the sermon. And the Lord said this, I'm issuing forth a call, saith the Lord, a call for obedience. A call for obedience. I'm calling you to obey. I'm calling you to obey every unction of the Spirit. I'm calling you to obey, to press hard, to press deep, and to press with all of your might, your strength, your mind, your soul, your resources, everything you have. I'm calling you to press and press and press into a place of obedience, for it is to the faithful that I show myself faithful. It is to the obedient that I show myself faithful. It is to the obedient that I show myself strong. Then the Lord said this, my eyes are searching to and fro. I'm seeking from the left and to the right. I'm seeking from the top to the bottom. I'm seeking from the inside out just for those who will allow me to show myself strong. My eyes are running to and fro at a more rapid pace than ever in the history of mankind, looking for those that I might show myself strong in their midst. Looking for the individuals. Say, look no further, Lord. Looking for the individual, looking for the families, looking for the bodies of believers in whom I can show myself, reveal myself, uncover myself in all that I am and in all that I have and in all that I know and in all that I do. And then the Lord said, obey, 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 obey. Don't second guess the unction of the Holy Spirit, but obey, 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 and see if you'll not see. And so obedience here is so key to us thriving. In the time of famine, if you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. So keep obeying God. Number two, keep sowing seed. Keep sowing seed. People begin to pull back in a time like this. Don't pull back, but keep moving forward. Ecclesiastes 11:4. He who observes the wind and waits for all conditions to be favorable will not sow. And he which regards the clouds will not reap. One translation said, if you wait until the wind and the weather are just right, you'll never plant anything and never harvest anything. Another one said, if you worry about the weather and don't plant seed, you won't harvest a crop. So it seems like to some, now would not be a good time. Now would not be a good time to have a building program, pastors. Now would not be a good time. But now is a good time. Now is a good time. I remember some years ago, Brother Oral Roberts came to our church and spoke to us. And he had, just a few years past, gotten out of the hospital. The devil attacked him in his body. He was in the intensive care unit, coming in and out of consciousness. His wife Evelyn is standing there at his bedside. And he had all these tubes hooked up to him, and they were monitoring him. And he opened his eyes, and he saw Evelyn standing there, and he looked at her. And he said these words, Evelyn, sow the biggest seed you can sow. And then he went back into a place of unconsciousness. Well, she left that place, and she got together their finances, and she sowed. She sowed the biggest seed that she could sow. Now, that was quite a number of years ago, and Oral Roberts is going strong at 92 years old. The man is waxing great. What did he do? He sowed in a time of what looked like famine. And in the midst of that famine, the Lord saved him from death. He just wrote another book. He wrote another book on hearing the voice of the Lord. We thought his last book was several years ago. But the man just keeps going and going and going and going and going. And I believe it was critical that day when he was in that ICU unit. What do you say? What do you say? If you've been given one short sentence to speak, he said, Evelyn, sow the biggest seed you could sow. So keep sowing seed. It's a good time to sow in the kingdom of God. This next one, number three, keep tithing. Keep tithing. Isaac tithed, but Pastor George, how do you know he tithed? Because of his father. Genesis 14:20, Abraham gave tithes of all. And Genesis 18:19, the Lord said, I know him. He will command his children and his household after him that they shall keep the way of the Lord. He'll order his sons to keep the ways of the Lord, and he'll direct his children. And so Isaac, little Isaac, would go with Abraham when he tithed and went to Melchizedek. Uncle Mel. He would go with him. He watched him. He studied him. So why should he cut it off now? Everything that came to Isaac, the man tithed. And so we have to keep tithing. We've got to keep walking by faith. We've got to keep believing. We've got to be strong in our believing. We've got to have what is called bulldog faith in the midst of a famine. I am not moved by what I see. I am not moved by what I feel. No, on the contrary, Hebrews 10:35, do not fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious recompense of reward. The word recompense of reward. I was in a meeting one time with Rick Renner, and this was being preached. And he wrote down on a piece of paper, I still have it at home, the Greek. He took apart the Greek of the recompense of the reward. And he wrote down on here, he has scriptural proof for what Leroy Thompson said about money cometh. Based in this scripture, recompense of reward means in the Greek, money has feet and it is running towards you. That's what it means. You'll find in there, in all of the Greek words, you'll find the word podos. We get our word podiatry. It means in the Greek, feet. So money has feet and it is running towards us. Do not fling away your fearless confidence. We are not of them that draw back, shrink back, go back, turn back, or withdraw, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Galatians 6:9, let us not lose hope and grow weary in acting nobly and doing right. For in due season and at the appropriate season, we will reap if we do not loosen or relax our courage and faith. Say, I'm strong in faith.
I'm strong in faith.
And I'm getting stronger all the time. Now, number five, this is the last one I'll give to you. The last one. Now, I did something with my church on Sunday. I thought it was kind of interesting, but I said, you know, one time it'd be interesting for Pastor George to get up there and say, now, this is my final scripture. And somebody stands up in the middle of the service and says, no, keep going, Pastor. And they did. Turn to Psalm 92. We will finish with this scripture. Oh, that blesses Pastor. Psalm 92. Keep going to church. Don't bail out now. Don't quit now. Keep going to church. And those of you that have the ability to come to your church, don't just watch it on the internet. Now, there's a grace upon people that watch it on the internet that cannot get here. But for those of you that can, be here. This is where the flow is. Somebody say flow. Oh, this is where the flow is. And seriously, really, this is not a time to quit coming to church. This is not a time to slack off. It is a time to stay faithful and stay consistent. Psalm 92, 12 and 13, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like the cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Shall flourish in the courts of our God. Now, I started talking about church and faithfulness. There, it kind of went down a little bit here. Let's bring it back up again now. Church is a good place. It's a good thing. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. That word flourish, increase in wealth and favor and honor. The word flourish, enlarge. The word flourish, become extremely successful. To be thrust forward. I like this one. Here's a word I don't use that much. Flourish, to grow exuberantly. Exuberantly. Oh, that's a word. Exuberantly. And it means to thrive. To thrive. So keep going to church. Now, one last thing about this scripture in verse 14. I think this will bless you. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. There are a lot of people right now worried about their financial future. They're worried about their investments and their 403Bs and their 401Ks and all of that stuff. They're concerned that it's gone down. But the Word says, I said the Word says, oh, you didn't hear me now. The Word says they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Musicians, start to come up here if you would, please. Our future is secure. It's secure in Him. The word fat means rich. It means rich. One translation said, they shall still increase in a fruitful old age, and they shall be well treated. Did you get that, son? They shall be well treated. Another translation says, they shall be like trees that stay healthy and fruitful even when they are old. And this last one that I like, this is the Darby translation. They are still vigorous in old age. They shall be green and full of sap. Y'all are full of sap now. They shall be green and flourishing. Stand up. Stand up. Let's declare the word together over this today. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Are you ready to make a quality decision about 2009? Are you ready to settle it right now that I'm thriving in 09? This is my year. This is my year to thrive. It's my year to thrive. Say this after me in Jesus' name. I settle this today. I'm thriving in 2009. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I hear. I'm not going under. I'm going over. I will keep. keep obeying God.
I will keep
sowing seed. I will keep tithing tithe. I will keep walking by faith. I'll keep believing.
I'll keep receiving.
I'll keep going to church.
In times of famine,
we thrive.
We prosper.
We flourish.
We succeed.
We advance.
We grow vigorously.
We increase.
I settle it now.
I'm thriving
in 2009.
Well, give the Lord a shout of praise.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Sing it. Let's sing it. Let's sing it.
Let's sing this before we go.
Come, righteous man.
In obedience to the Lord, but also to Sister Gloria, I had a sense today that people wanted to give. They want to give. They want to sow. I was praying about this afternoon. I took my envelope and I wrote here, we are thriving in 2009. We are thriving. And I just sensed today that there would be some people that just about ready to pop if they did not give in this offering today. Now, we don't normally receive offering in the afternoon service. But if you are so led by the Spirit of God, and you so need to write this and declare this over your life, we are thriving in 2009. Let's just take a few more moments here. And if you want to come to the altar, come on up. We'll take just a couple more moments. We'll do this. Guys, go ahead and sing.